I want to repeat again the thought today is salvation to all mankind. You know, it's a blessing. Sometimes we might be certain things we may not be allowed to even have because, you know, of our status in life. But, oh, I appreciate God Almighty, because it doesn't matter what our status is. He reaches out to every one of us. And, you know, he understands us. You know, there may be people that don't understand us. They look down on us, or they just kick us to the curb, so to speak. But Jesus doesn't do that. I'm so thankful. I come here to bowling, and if you were to look downtown, it looks pretty deserted, especially on Sundays. But you know, God knows every single soul in every little house or wherever they are, and he's reaching out to them with his great love and his might and his power. You know, we don't have to be educated, but we can be. We don't have to have money, but we can have. We don't have to have a fine house or car or any of those things. We may not even have to look the best. Some people could say, "Ooh, I don't see how that man would marry that lady. She is terrible looking." You have those things. But God doesn't look at that. He looks at, this is my child. This is my creation. I love them. And I want them to have this great salvation. He loved mankind so much that he gave his all. I must have said this over and over again, and I will say it as long as the Lord gives me strength. He gave his son. He gave everything that we may have this great salvation. Did anybody get Isaiah?
Isaiah 60:1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.
The Gentiles. Did you know we're Gentiles? Mm-hmm. If you're not born a Jew, you're a Gentile. But he gives this great salvation to us. And oh, how wonderful it is. Let's go to John 4:22-23.
Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Listen to this. Those people, Jesus was talking to the lady at the well, the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. She wasn't a Jew. But he was telling her, you don't even know what you worship. She's talking about, do we come to this, do we come here? Let me get to it. Other words, she didn't know where to worship. Should we come here, or should we go somewhere else, or whatever?
I want to read 20. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.
Yes. And Jesus told him, you worship, you don't know the salvations of the Jews, but the time is. What did it say? The time shall come, or the time is.
The hour cometh and now is.
There you go. The hour cometh and now is. You know why? Because Jesus said, come on the scene. Those days of a certain place to worship or certain people to worship God are no longer. The hour coming and now is that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. He's looking. Do you know the Lord is seeking through the earth, even in our dark time, when there's so much wickedness, when there's so much terrible things happening, he's still looking. He's looking for honest souls, people that will come to him and give their heart to him and will accept his great salvation. He has a plan that this great salvation is for our good. It's because he loved us. One scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. He knew that if mankind would continue on in the way they were going to perish. They were going to perish. But he wasn't willing for that to happen. He cared about his creation, so much so that he gave his best and all for us. And it's a wonderful salvation. We need to realize how wonderful salvation is. I think sometimes people take what God does for granted. Have you ever been in a place where it looked like you do all you can and it's not appreciated? This is the way it is with the Lord. He's done all he can, and there's plenty of people do not appreciate this great salvation. They take God for granted. It's like, I remember one person, I won't call a name. They knew about salvation, but they thought, I'll get saved at the last. In other words, I'm going to have all of my fun. And then when it's almost time for me to go, I'm going to hurry up and get saved. Yes, that's somebody that didn't realize the seriousness of salvation. They didn't value it like they should. Sometimes you can pour your whole heart into people and they walk away from you. Or you could pour all your effort. You might give them money. You might give them clothes and food and stuff. And they turn their back on you. They don't appreciate you. But you know what? That's what people are doing to the Lord. He's done everything. They don't even realize that because if it wasn't for God, they couldn't even breathe. They couldn't see. They couldn't go and have fun like they think they could. It's God that does it. And they don't appreciate it. But you know what? He does it anyway. Sometimes they curse, they use God's name in vain. And they do things that he's not pleased with. And yet, in his great love, he reaches out to them and give them their salvation, his salvation. Well, this person I'm telling you about, they finally, near the end, not the end of their life, but they got sick. And when they got sick, they got saved. But the good thing about the story is, when God healed them, they did not go back. They got serious about God, and they lived for a few years after that, and then they finally died, but they died with the determination to please God. And the last words that I remember them saying is, I want to be faithful. They said that the night before they died. The next morning they were gone. But you see, sometimes people don't really appreciate it. But thank God this person had a change of heart. And we want to recognize that salvation is a privilege. You know, it's so much in salvation that we don't recognize, we don't realize. But it's a privilege, and we don't want to take it for granted. Why is salvation so important to us? Because it affects not only our life here, but our eternity. You see, I'm 81, right? There's people that live 90, and they live 100, and all this. But do you know how long that is compared to eternity? Once scripture says one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day with the Lord. In eternity, there's no change. There's no chance. Our chance for accepting his salvation is right now in this world. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Tomorrow's not promised to us. But we need to accept his great salvation. We need to appreciate his great salvation. We need to realize that what would we be without God? What would we be? Read Revelations 19:1. So we can rejoice in his great salvation. We can rejoice that he has chosen us to have salvation.
And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And glory and honor. We can praise God for salvation. If we're saved, we need to be happy. I'm not saying we don't have things that make us cry. I do. But I can be happy in salvation. If everything falls down around me, I can still be happy for salvation. Amen. Acts 13:26-34.
Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they know him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him.
Go. Did you go to 34?
And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written on him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead.
Yes.
And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people.
Yes.
And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. And it is also written in the second Psalm, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And as concerning that he raised him from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, "I will give you the sure mercies of David."
Okay. So you see, they crucified him. They didn't, in verse 28, it says, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. And yet they were determined to slay him, and they did. But then God raised him up from the dead. This is how we are able to partake of this great salvation today. Because Jesus, God gave his son gave his life. Now, if Jesus had said, no, I don't want to do this, we'd have been lost. Yeah. But he was willing. There's a song that says, he was willing to drink that bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it not be. Let this cup pass from me. Yes, he knew what he was facing. He knew the agony. He knew the pain. Like, we might not always know what it feels like to go through certain things, but Jesus knew it. And yet he was willing to give his life. And he did. That we might have this great plan of salvation. I don't think we need to revisit what Jesus did for us. One scripture says, as often as you do this, he wants us to remember. We need to remember what he did for us. We need to recognize the great sacrifice that he made for our salvation and appreciate it. Just like a mother that sacrifices for a child, does everything, works hard to give the child maybe an education. And some of those children that get an education, they look down on that mother that worked so hard to make sure they could get that education. That happens over and over, I'm sure. Just like that, Jesus did all he could, and he was rejected. That's one scripture said, he was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But we don't want to reject him. We don't want to look down on what Jesus did. We don't want to look at his salvation as something we can just kick to the curb. We need to realize all that has been put in to our salvation. It's a reason he did that. Because he knows that once we leave this world, it's over. Our chances are over. There is no more chance of salvation after this world. And we need to do all we can to accept this great salvation and then walk in the path that he has for us. Let's go now to Psalms 118 and 22. Let's don't be like others, rejecting Christ, but let's accept this great plan.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner.
That's talking about Jesus. The Jews rejected him, but he's the head of the corner. He's the foundation of our salvation. Matthew 21 and 33 to 42. So Jesus was trying. He gave them a parable and trying to help them see what he's done.
Matthew 21 and 33.
Mm-hmm.
Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and dig a vine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went to a far country. And when the time of the fruit was drawn near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he said unto them, his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Let us kill him, and let us seize all his inheritance. And they called him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? You want to read some 42?
Yes, please.
They said to him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him fruits in their season. Jesus says unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same is to come to head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes.
So you see, Jesus, the very one that they rejected, became the cornerstone for the building, for the kingdom of God. He's teaching them about the kingdom of God, and it's about salvation and how he has provided all of this. He was rejected, but today we don't want to reject him. We want to recognize the privilege we have. And I wonder, and I think, and I say, how can we show our appreciation? The mother that does everything for the child, maybe provide for them to go to school, and they get finish college, they get a nice job. How do you think they could show their appreciation to their parent? They could show them by doing for them, for accepting them, not turning from them, not looking down on them and feeling like, you know, she's dumb, she don't know no better. And yet her hard-earned money provided for that child. We don't want to be that way with the Lord. He's provided all of this for him. The least we can do is accept his great salvation. When he comes to us and he say, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to him. Give your heart to him. This is how we show our appreciation for all that he's done. Let's go to Acts 4:8-12. 8-12.
Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it done unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner.
So see, through Jesus, this man, there's so many blessings in salvation.
Did you want to read 12 too?
Yeah.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Thank the Lord. So you see, they rejected him. People today are rejecting him. But if we really want to show him that we appreciate him, we should not reject him. We should accept him and let him walk in his ways and please him. Oh, you know, this is so vital to me. My heart goes out for people that are not saved today, because I want so much to see them recognize what God has done for them. I remember one time I was growing up, I kind of had a tenderness toward others that I felt were not treated right. And I think I feel the same way today. There are people, sometimes they're not treated right, but you want to, you know, you want to be a help to them. And so we want to make sure that we are doing all we can in God's service. That's why I'm here today. I said, we were on young people meeting last night, and I said, if I had a resolution or a thing that I want from the Lord, I want to use this strength with all the strength I have to serve God. Be in His service. Some people have New Year's resolution. They decide, I'm going to do this better or that better. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to make more money and all these things. But to me, the main thing is to serve God. And then when I leave here, I want to have been used completely in His service. That's my desire. And so I reach out to others, pleading and begging and trying to encourage them. See God, see how wonderful He is, see what Jesus was. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He didn't have to, but He did it for you and for me. So please, reach out to Him, accept His great salvation, and live for Him. Let's go now to John, 1 John 5, and read 11 to 13.
1 John 5, verse 11. Right?
Yes.
And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
So you see, this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And like I was saying a while ago, eternity, there is no end. Once we leave this world, we're there forever. And God knows that if we don't accept His salvation, we will perish. That scripture says in John 3:16 that they should not perish, but have eternal life. He doesn't want to see us perish. So that's why He made this great sacrifice. And so let's love Him. One scripture say we love Him because He first loved us. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 9. If we don't, we'll be lost forever.
2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
See, He's not slack, but He's long-suffering. He reaches out even when that we turn our back on Him. He still reaches out. As long as there's life, there's hope, and He still wants us, that He doesn't want us. Because if we don't give in, if we don't accept His salvation, we will have eternity away from God. But even in this world, there is a blessing in salvation. In this world, if people do not accept His great salvation, they're of all men most miserable. And people turn to drugs, alcohol. You know what? We talk to the young people. We try and beg. Don't give your heart to God. Give your heart to God. Because if you don't, you subject yourself to all of these vices, and the devil has traps, snares, things that he want to get people in. Could be avoided if they would just only accept his great salvation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:19.
1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
We need to have that hope beyond this life. If it's just here, we are all men most miserable. But you know, the Lord wants to get us out of that misery, doesn't he? Let's go to Isaiah 61, read 1 through 3. He made this plan of salvation that we don't have to be miserable. We don't have to have a miserable life.
The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance is of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You want 1 to 3?
Yes, and then skip down to number 10, read 10-11.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And skip down to 10.
Yes.
So I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of salvation, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels.
Do you notice how he has something beautiful? The oil of joy for mourning, the beauty for ashes. He has a beautiful life. The way of the Christian is wonderful. It's a happy way. It's one song says, the happy people. We can be happy even when things are not going good because of this great salvation. I want to read one more scripture. That's 1 Peter 1:3-5. You get that, and I'm going to get Romans 15:13. So here's Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, with God, we have, in this salvation, we have hope, we have peace, and we have joy. What a better exchange. From misery to hope, peace, and joy. Wouldn't you rather have hope, a bright life, a happy life, joy and peace, than that miserable life? Why do you think it's so much killing? Misery, anger, wrath. But God has a better way, and it's a better plan.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
What a blessed hope we have. That song, Have We Any Hope Within Us? We have hope through Jesus. But it's one thing I want to warn, and I said that was the last scripture. Let's go to Hebrews 2 and read 1 through 4. We have a choice. He's not going to pull us and make us. He offers it to us. Just like the mom that takes care of the child and does. She's not going to make the child do by her right, but she's offering. She's pouring out herself to that child. And so the Lord has done the same.
Hebrews 2 and 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard.
Yes.
Lest at any time we should let them slip.
That's it. And go all the way to 4.
For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which as the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bare them witness, both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will.
You see, he's done all of this. We can accept it or we can reject it. But if we reject it, we're going to pay the price. Eventually, the God that's been our Savior will be our judge. And if we reject his salvation, we are going to be the ones to have eternity away from him. Pray for me.